All right. We'd like to welcome each and every individual. We're doing a 30-minute strategy session with Andy, and we're looking forward to it. We are recording this session. And so let's go ahead and dive in here. And so, Andy, do you have any questions before we dive in?
No, I'm all ears today.
Okay, cool. Dylan, any questions you have or before we dive in with Andy?
None that I have.
All right, so let's go ahead and dive in. Andy, let me kind of give you an overview of what a 30-minute strategy session is. And so we have found, Andy, that there's a three-step process to determine if or how we might be able to help people. And so step one is to do an examination. So just like a doctor's never going to give you a prescription without doing an examination, the same thing is true with us. We don't know if or how we might be able to help you until, you know, we get to know you a little bit better.
Mm-hmm.
In step two is potential solutions, and then step three is implementation. So the three-step process is pretty simple. It's examination, solution, implementation. Does that make sense, Andy?
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
Now, in the examination, Andy, it can be a simple short series of questions, or it can be a much more comprehensive, thorough assessment. You know, it's really up to the individual. In solutions, Andy, what we have found is we have found that people tend to like three types of solutions, kind of a basic, an intermediate, and an advanced. In the basic tends to be for people who are, like, they know they need help, but they're not really sure, or maybe they're really analytical, or maybe funds are really tight, or maybe they don't have a high sense of urgency. So basic's a good place to get started. The intermediate, Andy, tends to be for individuals that just very intuitive by nature, and they just dive in, they just jump in, and they just say, this is the right thing for me. And then on implementation, some people like to implement quickly, and the other people, you know, they take a longer period of time. And so, which is fine. Every, you know, solution we'd ever recommend for somebody is always customized specifically for them. So with your permission, Andy, what I'd like to do is just ask you a few questions to get to know you, if that'd be okay.
Sure.
Cool. All right, so it looks like in the information you'd shared, I just want to review, make sure we have the right information. Biggest challenge would be money and time management, correct?
Yep, managing it.
Okay.
Is definitely my challenge.
Okay. Let's see here. Cool. Being upfront and realistic with my client, doing what counts at the moment and reasonable, okay. Got that. You'd love help on being able to absorb and understand how to manage paperwork. I love to sell customers on my service, but hate the follow-up and make them commit. Gotcha. I'd love to be able to email each customer with a text or pre- or post-follow-up. Got it. You'd like to change about yourself. I'd like to talk less and do more. Awesome. Awesome. That's great. Let's see. Got it. I don't think I appreciate the gifts I have, such as a family and my home and my business. Good. Let's see here. And of the four shapes, you'd said that you like the cube first, the ball second, the wavy line third, and the pyramid fourth.
Yep.
And the four things that cause conflict or cause most frustration is conflict, out of control, out of order, and then boring and not fun.
Yeah.
Okay. And Andy, I'm sure I'm not telling you something you don't already know, but you looks like you have a pretty complex personality. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, I think I'm definitely emotionally. I can be emotionally affected really quickly.
Okay.
You know.
Yeah, It's interesting. In the two tests, in the GEO and the Pain Quadrant test, there are 65,536 possible combinations. And in the Pain Quadrant test, you test out as an amiable driver personality, so that would tend to show that one of your greatest strengths would be your concern, compassion for people.
Yeah.
And one of your weaknesses,
right.
Yeah. And one of your weaknesses might be your concern, compassion for people.
Maybe that's right, too. I don't know.
So our greatest strength, Andy, is our greatest weakness, and our greatest weakness is just our greatest strength misapplied.
Mm-hmm.
It's taking a strength and carrying it too far. So typically the amiable personality, super, super nice, you know, just nice, caring, giving, sometimes that can become a weakness and they can be taken advantage of by people.
Yeah.
Another strength that you'd have based on that test is your drive, your assertiveness. You make things happen.
Mm-hmm.
And a weakness would be the same. And that type of personality would tend to have inner conflict in that really caring about people, but then really driven. And so sometimes they run people over, apologize for running them over, run them over again. It's like they have these two energies. It's like, I really want to help people, but I really want to drive people. So that type of personality would tend to have a fair amount of inner conflict. I don't know how accurate it is, but that's what that shows.
Yeah.
In the other test, Andy, it shows that your primary personality in the other test would be analytic. So in that test, one of your greatest strengths would be you like to dot your I's, cross your T's, make sure things are done properly in order.
Yeah.
Sometimes yeah. And,
I would say in everyday life, as far as my grammar, it's never been there.
Okay, gotcha. Sure, sure. Another strength you'd have is you, based on that test, you're analytic, amiable. So another characteristic might be, strength might be, like you're really tenacious. Like once you set your mind to do something, Andy, you probably do it.
Generally, yes, I would follow through with everything.
Okay. And a weakness might be at times, not all the time, but once in a while you might be a tad stubborn.
Yeah, I'm pretty stubborn.
And if that wasn't tough enough, because you have strong secondary of analytic, you have lots of data to back up your stubbornness. So probably people like, you know, if Andy sets his mind to do something, he's just going to do it. So I don't know how accurate that all is, Andy, mm-hmm. but that's kind of what the assessment shows.
Yeah. When I was about 15, I had a kid tell me one time, he was trying to teach me how to run a combine, and he finally said, he says, you're just like your older brother. He says, you guys, I tell you the easy way to do it, and you still do it the hard way, because you can't wrap your mind around anybody else's way of doing things.
And how old are you now?
I'm 35.
Okay. So 20 years later, and you still remember that. That's pretty cool.
Yeah. Yeah, he was really, telling me how to do things a better way. I wasn't open to it.
Not so much. That's cool. Well, you got a great sense of humor, Andy. I like that.
Yeah.
How many hours would you say you're working a week now, Andy?
You know, since the first of the year, I've really analyzed a lot of things. And last summer, I was probably working 60 to 70 or even 80 hours a week.
Okay.
I really committed to changing that.
Okay.
And I'm probably working 40, maybe 45.
Oh, cool. Good for you.
40 hours a week. Now I'm really committing to some more realistic hours.
Okay. And how many would you ideally like to be working a week?
You know, I really like a 40-hour week. Honestly, I mean, even if I didn't have to, I mean, I wouldn't say I want to work in this shop 40 hours. If I could spend 6 hours a day running my conventional business, a couple hours a day doing something else that made money, I'd love to do that.
Cool.
So, and that, you know, that's been something I think is cool.
But, and you have a detailing and window tinting business?
Yes.
Okay. Any other businesses that you own, or is that the primary one?
I bought a window washing business 3 years ago, so we try to run that, but it's been really hard to manage my help, finding somebody I can rely on to go out and do the job. And, you know, half the time I get kids, you know, they call me and they go, well, I can't get the ladder up to this window, or they can't do this or that. And then I have to go out, and my personality, you know, I wish I had the ability when they call and they say, my personality is I just go out there and do it for them. I'm like, look, this is how you do it, and I do the job. And as I look at other managers, they would go out there and go, well, what's the problem here? And they would say, well, you're going to have to figure this out. And they would encourage their workers. You know,
right.
I look at other managers, like managers that manage a car dealership, for instance.
Right.
If they're wanting to sell a car, they tell their salesman, hey, contact this person, tell them to come look at the car.
Right.
And then they call the detail shop and they go, hey, get this car done by 3 o'clock because we're going to show it.
Right.
Well, if the car isn't ready by 3, the manager doesn't go out there and grab a vacuum and start vacuuming to show the car on time. He
right.
just goes out there and chews the detail shop guys. and then he calls the customer and says, hey, my detail shop isn't on time. You're going to have to wait an hour. You know, he's not, you know, and I'm the other way around. I'm the guy like, oh, I'll just do the job myself if you can't figure it out.
So let me ask you a question if I could, Andy. Like intellectually, you know what you should do. Any ideas
mm-hmm.
why you know what you should do? So you're a smart guy. You know what you should do. Any ideas why you know what you should do and you still don't do it?
It's probably a lack of belief that it actually could happen.
Oh, okay. That's fair. That's fair.
I mean, I don't know. I think I've been a That'd probably be right. I'm probably an unbeliever or something in that way that I don't believe in myself.
Okay. So
because,
you believe
well,
that
the interesting thing, the interesting
yeah.
thing about my business, and I think even Dylan has felt it when he came and worked here a couple years ago, is there is energy here that people love. And they come in and they're like, man, we could go places with this business. Like there's, and I create that energy, but then I also hamper it by
right.
maybe shooting it down, going, nah, success isn't for me, or every, you know.
Right. Right.
Karma's against me, and I can't ever be that successful person.
Right. Gotcha. And 1 to 10, like so you had your WOW income goal is 100,000, and your minimum income goal is 50,000.
Well, that's what I'm on. I penciled that track out for this year. Last
okay.
year I made around 28, 29. Not
okay.
enough for raising 4 kids.
Okay, yeah.
And a mortgage, but we're somehow getting by.
Right.
But this year I penciled out my business, and if I follow the outline, I should make 50,000 this year, but it's definitely not a wow factor.
Okay.
It's like a necessity. Or of.
Right. Does your wife work outside the home?
You know, she runs, have you ever heard of Melaleuca?
Yeah, absolutely.
She does Melaleuca business, and then she does a little cleaning on the side. So she does some house cleaning.
Okay.
And then she sells Melaleuca business, the company. So.
Yeah, gotcha. Cool. And 1 to 10, how coachable would you say you are, Andy?
Well, I think I put on there a 5.
Right.
And I think I might have to stick with that.
Okay. That's fair.
I just, you know, like, okay, well, we could use the Melaleuca business, for example. 2011 is when we started it.
Okay.
I took all the training. I was going to be a role player in it and wrap my mind around a lot of it, spend a lot of time with it. But wasn't, nearly, I mean, my wife isn't super successful in the business, but I was totally bombing it out.
Okay.
I was probably attracting the same kind of clients. I'm not going to include Dylan in this because he's a rarity. But
yeah.
Overall, over the years, I've attracted a lot of, what would you call them, Dylan? Projects? Of workers?
Yeah, that's a good definition for them.
People with baggage and drama, and that's what I ended up. That's the kind of clients I attracted in Melaleuca, and it started costing me a lot of time.
Right.
And so finally, I told my wife, "Look, you're a better judge of, or not even a judge of people, but you're a better person at retaining the customers that you enroll.
Right.
So I'm going to let you do this. I'm going to go back to cleaning cars. okay. and make that successful because I couldn't juggle both. It really felt right. like. And so, I was coachable, but then yet I didn't follow through probably with the Melaleuca coaching and.
Gotcha. So 1 to 10, how would you rate your listening skills? How good of a listener are you? 10 being the highest.
I'm probably a 4.
And your sales skills?
Well, that's tough. I think they're a 9, but
cool.
I've actually approached several car dealerships before I started this business.
Yep.
And tried to become a salesman, and they won't have it. They're just like, nope. We got room for you in the detail shop, but not on the sales floor. And so I've always been told by salesmen that if you walk on the job, or that salesmen recognize salesmen, and they'll hire you within the first 5 minutes at a car lot if you're what they want.
Huh.
They say if you don't have what they want, then they say, well, we'll think about it or we'll get back to you. You're dead in the water. You just will go look somewhere else.
But you think you're a sales at a 9?
Well, I think they are here in the shop and in something that's my passion.
Okay, gotcha. 1 to 10, your sense of urgency overall?
Would that be urgency in sales?
No, just overall, everything.
Now, these are tough questions. So I would, again, say maybe a 4 in my urgency.
Okay. And when
because
you
When
you are urgent, what causes you to have a high sense of urgency?
A crisis.
Okay.
Like something being behind schedule or
right.
not done on time. Or.
Would you like to change that, or is that working pretty good for you or not?
No, I'm miserable in that department. Very miserable.
Okay.
Individual.
1 to 10, I do love your sense of humor, Andy. That is neat. 1 to 10, how much of a procrastinator would you say you are, 10 being the highest?
Oh. Well, if it's book work, I'm probably a 10.
Okay.
If it's a... I don't know. I'd say if it's inventing something new or starting a new project, that I love doing that, so I don't procrastinate about that.
Okay.
It's finishing the projects, probably.
Okay.
So.
Gotcha. And 1 to 10.
Go ahead. Oh, I just love to go to the, like on Saturday, if I have a project around the farm.
Yeah.
I love to go to the lumberyard, buy all the stuff, get it all lined out. But then, you know, to finish the lean-tos or whatever I'm building on the barn.
Right.
It's just tough to just dial it all in and get every piece of trim on.
Right, right.
But
so I can't stand,
I have friends that have barns they've started 10 years ago and they still don't have all the trim on. Drives me nuts. And maybe that's partly something that I hate about myself.
Okay.
But.
So if you were being coached professionally and your coach thought you were procrastinating, how would you like them to respond to you?
Man, I wish Heather was one of my coaches in Melaleuca. I'd love to hear her opinion right now.
Okay.
You know, she would tell me, hey, if you don't call Angie by Saturday, I'm going to do it. Like, she needs to hear about Melaleuca. And I would say, yeah, whatever. And I wouldn't do it. So I guess I'm not super coachable.
So how would you like them to respond if they thought that didn't work, obviously? How would you like them to respond if you procrastinated?
I don't know.
Okay. Has anybody ever helped you to stop it?
No, I think she, like, on a bill like that, I think she's just like, well, if, you know, if he's not going to bounce the basketball, I won't pass it to him anymore.
Okay, gotcha.
I think that's kind of her approach, but I'm not, I mean, I was coached by Rennie Doyle for a while.
Okay.
He's a detailing coach and mentor.
Okay.
And I really contribute a lot of my success to him and maybe the energy that I create at this shop.
Okay.
But there was a lot of things in his coaching style that I just couldn't apply to my lifestyle.
Okay.
So I kind of backed away from that. But every time I do listen to I do occasionally listen to his webinars, and they're very very contagious, and I take good out of them every time.
Cool.
Me.
Cool.
But,
and Andy, if somebody said the following to you, how would you respond? So if somebody said to you, Andy, I think you're coachable at a 1, your listening skills are a 1, your sales skills are a 3, your sense of urgency is a 1, and you're a 10 on procrastination. If somebody said that to you, Andy, how would you respond?
Well, I would love to listen. I'd love to have a coach that would help me with that.
Nice.
But I don't, I mean, I guess I'd probably have to believe him.
Okay.
I don't know if I'd believe him on the sales skills.
Okay.
But actually, they probably need work too.
Nice. Is there any other
closing? Obviously, the closing skills need work because I didn't ever get the Noah Lucas thing to work.
Gotcha. Is there any other questions, Andy, that I should have asked that I didn't ask, or any additional information we should know that we don't know before we give you some input?
No, I think you're very thorough.
Cool. All right. Awesome. And Dylan, you've talked to Andy about the Renatas, correct?
Yeah, he's seen everything. We sat down and watched it together.
Cool. And Andy, what do you think about Renatas?
Well, you want me to really critique it?
Sure.
Okay. Well, I think it's a great program.
Okay.
I think it's unbelievable, actually. And
okay.
I think that's the toughest part for Renatas is the believability of the product.
Okay.
Because there's, you know, like there's 3 things in sales, and I couldn't point them all out, but one is believability.
Okay.
One is value.
Okay.
What you're buying.
Uh-huh.
And one is the simplicity of it, the understandability of it. And
okay.
It's got 2 things. It's got value. It's got the simplicity. I mean, it is complex, but yet it's still understandable. When you watch it, you're like, hey, I need more of this. I need more of this training. But the believability and the dollar is just – the numbers are hard to wrap anybody's mind around.
Okay.
I don't know if you've how many multi-level marketing business have you watched presentations?
I mean, we do executive coaching, so I mean, we've had clients in a number of different ones, so I'm pretty familiar with them.
So, have you ever heard of Team National?
I have not.
Okay, my uncle. So I called my uncle with Nola Luca. He wanted to show me Team National because that's what he was into.
Okay.
His believability of that story was just so incredible. I mean, the unbelievability was just off the hook. Like, the presentation was all about these huge motor homes and these 700-acre ranches in Alabama that you could attain, as, you know, within 90 days. And it was a frustrating video. Actually, I went home very frustrated from watching that.
Okay.
And, so I'm not saying Renatas is identical to Team National in any way. I actually think they have more value than Team National would offer. But the whole, and I'm not saying Renatas is an old multi-level marketing business. Team National,
right.
They plain out admit that they are.
Right.
But what all these companies that we work from home are is their brilliant strategy. They're awesome. Like if we could all step away from having that 9-to-5 job, and like it cost me $2,000 a month to open the doors at this shop.
Right.
And then somebody comes to me and says, well, hey, for $1,200, you can start this other business, and you know, you're spending more than that every month.
Right.
But with my business, like the standard business structure like mine, I open the storefront, I put a sign out, people walk in with their wallets out.
Right.
$100 bills in their hand, they're ready to spend money.
Right.
And with it seems like all the other businesses that are structured, the work from home business, it's all about finding clients, setting a time to work with them, educating them on the product that you have or the service that you sell, and closing the deal. To me, I don't have to close the deal here. I mean, in a way, I do. I have to give them the value, but they come in already wanting what I have.
Right.
They're like, hey, there's a window tint shop. I just bought a new car. I want my car tinted.
Right.
I'm like, I'm $240. They're like, well, crap, I can get it in Spokane for $199. I'm like, we'll drive to Spokane. It's $40 more. And they're like, oh, okay, well, that doesn't make sense. I'll just get it done here.
Right.
And then it's the sale's over. I mean,
right.
I'll
so
have
what
to do
would
a schedule.
1 to 10, how would you rate your interest in Renatus? 10 being the highest.
My interest is quite high. I guess I'd have to say it's a 7.
Okay. And what would it take to get to a 10?
I don't know. I guess I'd love to make Shine and Shade successful to prove that I could do something successful in life. You know?
How long have you been married?
Almost 14 years.
And how old are your kids?
12, 10, 8, and 5.
Andy, that sounds like my wife and I, we've been married for, 31 years, and we have 7 kids. And so 14 years and 4 kids, 10, 12, 10, 8, and 5, that sounds like success to me.
There's no doubt there's some success in my life. My wife is successful.
Right. So when you say you'd love to make Shine and Shade successful, you'd like to do something successful in your life, what does that mean to you?
Well, okay, so a couple things is I think that as long as I'm operating in a crisis mode, even if I'm making money, that's not success. You know what I mean?
I do.
Because last year I grossed $135,000. But at the end of the year, $5,000 in debt, and I'm still telling customers, hey, I can't get your car done because I unrealistically booked 3 of you today, and it's 3 cars is 18 hours worth of work. I actually only work 10 hours a day. And then I'm calling 2 of my clients, telling them I'm not done. Or, I have a mentor. Dylan knows him quite well. He comes in my shop, and he told me the other day, he says, if you got a 9 o'clock completion time scheduled for the job or expectation, he says, tell your customer 1:30 pickup time, not 9 o'clock in the morning. He says, because every time they come in here and you're still cleaning out the cup holder or the door jams or the windows, he says, your credibility goes down because they're like, man, I set an appointment uptown at 9:15 because I was going to pick up my car and be there, and now I'm running, Now I got to sit here and wait, and I'm kind of under the gun, and I don't care if the windows are clean or not. At this point, I got to get to my next appointment.
Right.
And so I'm losing credibility with every job, and then with that, I have this, I guess, the shadow on my life of, I just can't ever get anything done on time.
Right. Do you have any questions for me, Andy?
Yeah, I'd have a lot.
Really?
I got a customer just walked in. Hold on.
Okay.
Starting. Okay. Okay. Okay.
Appreciate it. That would be not me, but I'll pay that cash.
Okay, I'll have the bill for you.
Thanks.
Yeah. Okay, Mark.
Yep.
I would have lots of questions for you, but I don't want to take up too much of your time.
Well, I tell you what. Why don't – let me put you on hold just a second here, just a second.
Yeah.
So tell you what, Andy, how about if I have my associate, either Jindran or Lisa, connect with you and schedule another time for you and Dylan and I to talk, because I think I have some ideas on some things that will help you.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's a couple degrees, you know, it's like a safe, you know, opening a safe. You can have, you know, two out of the three, and the third one can be just so close, but, you know, it still doesn't open. I think that there's some minor tweaks that you could make that would be very exciting for you. So if you'd be open to that, I'll go ahead and have, let's see here. Let's just kill it right now here. Your Pacific time. How about 3:00 tomorrow, your time?
Let me check my schedule here. I got a window tint at 1:00. I should be ready.
Okay.
I think I'll be available.
Okay. Well, we'll schedule it for tentative. You know, we'll go ahead and schedule for tentative, and then go ahead and, you know, we can modify it if we need to. Dylan, does that work for you?
He might have jumped off.
No, I'm here. I got you. Yeah, I'm mute while I'm digging a trench, so I had to run over and grab the phone.
Okay, cool. All right, so we'll plan on 3:00 tomorrow. We'll pick up the conversation. Andy, I'm excited for you. Dylan, thanks so much for the introduction. I think that there's some things that, you know, some tweaks that, Andy, you can make, and I think that'll be, you know, I think there's some cool things that you and Dylan can do together that'll be, you know, creating a win-win for everybody.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Make sense?
Yep.
All
I'm
right.
I'm excited.
Hey, I'm excited for you guys, too.
Me, too. Right. We've been trying to get a win-win thing of us doing stuff together for a little while now. We haven't been able to lock anything up yet.
Okay. All right. We'll talk to you guys tomorrow.
Okay. All right.
Thanks.
Okay. We'll see you.
Thanks, Mark.
Bye.
Bye.
All right, if you're listening to the rebroadcast of this, you're like, wow, that was pretty cool. It is. If you have any questions, connect with the individual who invited you to participate in today's session, or you can call toll-free 888-230-2300. That's 888-230-2300. Or if you're calling in outside the U.S., you can call the U.S.-based number at 630-393-9909. That's 630-393-9909. God bless and have an amazing day. Always remember, we can accomplish so much more together than we ever could on our own. Bye-bye.